April 5th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, podcast number two. I am still your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown and my beautiful, our beautiful Banting Park home. I am joined by the extraordinary, the mighty Max Martinson at WAUK Studios in Radio Park on Victory Drive. And Max with the beard and kind of the brownish hoodie reminds me of a Franciscan monk, if I may say. I know you can't see it, but it's definitely a classic look. And Max also was at a Brewers game last night, so I know he's making the most of all the great opportunities here in our area. I am joined again by James Santel, U.S. Attorney Emeritus and host of Amicus, a law review. You know, kind of like we'd follow each other in the batting order when I was doing radio. Now we're doing podcasts, and he's been kind to stick around after his show that finished at 11. And for those of you that are new to the podcast, please be sure to check out Jim's show on the Civic Media app, or if you have a radio, WAUK Radio 540 AM or 101.1 FM if you live in Waukesha. It really is a great education on what's going on in the law. And so Jim joined me to talk about some of the election results and I guess the future with local elections. And we were focusing in on partisan involvement in local elections. We started with a discussion on the 14th Aldermanic District race where Rick Lemke had defeated his candidate challenger, Megan Locke, by, I believe it was a 237 vote margin, which in local elections is a comfortable margin of victory. And he had the benefit of a WISRED postcard campaign that branded him as the ideal conservative. And, you know, a couple problems there is that, you know, now, again, especially with WISRED, the expectation is he will vote along their platform in every issue. And while Rick is a Republican and a proud conservative in his national politics at the local level, his voting record does not reflect that. And it's not a knock on Rick. It's more of a reflection of the dynamics of our local politics and our local government and what makes sense for people at the most local levels. And I believe a lot of Rick's decisions were made based on his values and his belief, especially as a lifelong Waukesha resident, on what's the best direction for his city, for our city. And so this is not a knock on Rick, you know, selling out or anything like that. It's just more about the nonpartisan tradition of the way our local government operates and the way our elected officials conduct themselves. And Waukesha residents, like a lot of local community residents anywhere, are much more interested in the quality of their garbage and recycling, the safety of their streets, law enforcement, the other services we depend on from the city, our roads, economic development and other in infrastructure, small business development, health, you know, all these things that unite us all as residents of Waukesha and as members of this human race. And so, but it's kind of because WISRED had participated, and I don't know if Rick had asked for WISRED help. I know other candidates have in local elections, but it is kind of a be careful what you wish for scenario. And so, Jim, some final thoughts on that before we talk about the 15th district?
Sure. Yes. Again, I will tell you, Don, about my experience again in this past election, this campaign cycle. I live in Brookfield, obviously also in Waukesha County. I don't live in the city of Waukesha, but I receive probably every day in the mail, sometimes hung on my door, multiple of the very glossy, very attractive, multicolored promotions. Now, again, I endorse those. I have no difficulty criticizing the concept at all. Without identifying the candidate, actually candidates, there were plainly some references in those to, again, a larger issue, which is invoking your partisan view about the world generally, whether it's red or blue or something else. And the difficulty with a number of those hangers and those things sent to me is because of that connection to, again, national issues, things far beyond the local focus, which is what you just described. When I see a candidate for local office talking about my commitment to border security along the Mexican border, I think, okay, something's gone terribly wrong here. Now, it does invoke issues, obviously. Or when I see someone talking even about things like, again, depending upon the office, if you're a judge and you're running because you're going to balance the state budget, you know, the answer is no, you're not going to do that. It's meant to be a whistle to you for something else. And not only is it misleading, it's also very cynical, right? Because I think it assumes that you and I, Max and others, are not bright enough to know that you have nothing to do with that issue. And you're invoking it from a larger party perspective solely to apply to invoke and get my vote based upon my emotional response. It is cynical. I would like to think maybe we can head to the day when that kind of use is no longer out there. And it's actually not even effective. We'll look forward to that day in the future.
Yes, thank you. And that's a great lead into the 15th Aldermanic District election. So candidate challenger Rico Camacho defeated four-time incumbent Corey Payne, son of 2nd District Alderman Eric Payne. And the margin was 888 votes to 444, a 100% margin of victory. And I guess full disclosure, I had a private, confrontation with Alderman-elect Camacho, really between text messages, and it was about his possible participation in the show. And I think it was one of these things where cooler heads should have prevailed, and I certainly own my loss of religion, if you will. But there's no denying that Camacho ran a very spirited campaign. He hosted a lot of events. He knocked on a lot of doors. He certainly earned this victory, which to me begs the question. Now, Alderman Camacho's campaign, well, it didn't come from Camacho's campaign. It came from the Democratic Party of Waukesha County. And what it was a smear campaign. I don't think there was a single word there about endorsing Camacho. It was an attack on incumbent Corey Payne, who, as we know, has had some personal issues involving law enforcement over the last couple years. And this is a good question for Jim Santel from a legal standpoint. Outgoing Alderman Payne was branded as a child abuser because of an arrest involving, there was a physical altercation, I believe more specifically a slap on the knee of a former girlfriend's child. I don't know enough specifics, but in court it was ruled he pleaded guilty to battery, not child abuse. And so the question is, because I know there's pending litigation, is, you know, can you brand somebody a child abuser if they haven't been convicted of child abuse, if they've only been convicted of battery? Where do we stand on that, Jim, from a legal standpoint?
The answers are fairly clear on this. You don't have to be on a witness stand under oath saying something, right? You don't have to be out there even on a podcast like this, on the radio, on television. You don't have to be standing in the park along the river in this wonderful city of Waukesha and shouting things from your soapbox. You can, in fact, run afoul of the defamation laws, slander and libel, right? If you do this, basically, if you say something that is untrue, and it can't be just around the edges, it's supposed to be materially, again, functionally untrue. Something you and I would look at and say, no, the sun does not rise in the west. That is just plain wrong, right? And includes things like this. That is, if you mislabel who Don Brown is, who Jim Santel is, and especially when it comes to whether it's a matter in the courts, it's a matter about employment, it's a matter about our families, our personal life, and it is wrong. And I do it knowingly. I do it with the intent to harm. I know that I'm wrong. We make mistakes all the time. As you just said, you and I have been on radio. Every so often we misstate something, not intentionally. We go back and we correct that. But if you do something, say something, and it's materially false, and you're doing it with willful intent, especially in these kinds of circumstances, And we've seen this from time to time. Candidates have run in not only to the election commission, but also you can run into court and say, you know what, in a public domain, you are saying things about me that are wrong, and you know they're wrong and with intent, and you've got a civil claim. It's not a criminal claim, but a civil claim to defamation. We have seen that in other settings on the national level as well, right? Sure. Our president basically has gotten judgments against him for defamation, right? The voting machines case, that was defamation. It is the knowing misstatement of a fact, right? And so there is exposure. And when it comes to specifically identifying something in the criminal law, the nature of a conviction, again, this is my background, this is my bias, you have got to be very precise. And it is not the same if you are right to be specific about it. If you're misleading about it, that can also get you into trouble. And it's also it will also backfire, right? If it turns out that you have misstated something aside from the courts, it will also mean that people will not trust you on other things. It's really not long-term productive either.
Yeah.
But defamation, yes, indeed, that can happen.
Yeah. Now, I don't want this in any way to be, I'm not defending Alderman Payne in terms of how he conducts his personal life. But what is interesting, though, is that his last election, he won by a margin of 58 votes, a narrower margin. And it was a lot of that was due to support from Wiss Red in the form of a postcard campaign. Martinson. And his votes consistently reflect conservative values. He's never voted for any increase in government spending. He's been a very outspoken advocate for controlling, even lowering taxes. But Wiss Red, when all those legal troubles became publicized in the news, Wiss Red would not, as I understand it, did not offer any support to Alderman Payne. In fact, I think he may have even sought it, and it was crickets. And so, rather interesting when you consider the national candidates they support, without going too far down that rabbit hole. But for me, the bigger concern is that it's twofold. Is one, Alderman-elect Camacho, who again ran a very spirited, very active campaign. When you look at that margin of victory, he would have won anyway without the involvement of the Democratic Party of Waukesha County. The second issue is that now we'll have an upcoming mayoral election next year without an incumbent. Sean Riley is stepping down after three terms of what many, well, a majority based on his wins of careful and responsible stewardship and an independent voice, as we've known. Mayor Riley has not always endorsed, you know, GOP or conservative values in his leadership as mayor. But again, like Rick Lemke, was more focused on the best interests of the community, especially as another lifelong resident that understands full well the history of Waukesha. But what it's, I think, thanks, unfortunately, to this involvement from the Democratic Party and the smear campaign is that it may discourage good candidates, good moderate or independent candidates from running in this election, knowing the potential for smear campaigns that impact not only the candidates, but their families that have to live here and go to school here or work here that may face some negative or unfortunate public scrutiny. And there's a fear, again, that we have an extreme candidate coming in that doesn't endorse Waukesha values or traditions. Thoughts on that, Jim?
Right. And I'm going to put it once again in the language of deterrence, right? If candidates who are good people, I'd like to think that we all know them in our lives. We always say, you know what? You should run for alderman. You should run for state assembly. You should run for governor. You know, the sky is the limit. And that person says, I would be delighted to. I would love to serve the people of my area. I'd love to advance the interests of my constituents. I don't want to expose myself to all of that. And by exposing, they're not saying, gosh, you're an international terrorist. We're not talking about that. We're not saying that you've defrauded people. We're just saying that, you know, by the time you've lived to be, 14 years old, all of us have something very minor in our lives you could probably pick up on and amplify, misstate, right? Misinterpret and mispublicize that. And then you're involved in some character, in some cases, attacks. But then you've got to spend your time pushing back on that. And all of a sudden, it looks as if, oh my goodness, this otherwise very qualified person really does have some serious baggage here. And people then look at that and say, it's not worth my time. It's not worth my resources. I'm not going to stand up in the first place. Now, the answer to that, of course, is Teddy Roosevelt. It's the man in the arena speech, right? Which, yeah, I know, Don, you know well. You've quoted well from it. You're in the arena. That comes with it. I'm going to take shots. And the person who takes those shots at me probably hasn't always appreciated the significance of that. It does come with the job, if you will, with the campaign. Mm-hmm. But it's also the reason why Teddy Roosevelt was saying it is because here's this very vibrant, very energetic, very active public servant who can, in fact, push back. Not everyone in their lives can do that. Not everyone in their lives has the capacity even to defend against a defamation lawsuit in court, right? And so that's the other problem with making those ad hominem attacks legitimate. Disagreements about policy, about votes in the past, this should have gone in a different direction, that's all fair game. But the personal attacks, again, aggravated and elevated to points that they're not at, that's when it quite literally chills people from running, right, and chills people from doing what they otherwise would do.
Sure. And, you know, that's why kind of national politics or running for elective office, much like owning a baseball team, is very much a rich man's folly, that they've got the money and the resources and then the PR machine to withstand any of these attacks, and as well as go on the offense and do their own digging and issue their own attacks. And one of the real benefits of the local elections was that you didn't have to worry about all that,
right,
that shyster, right, poopy, all that negative noise. And but now that seems no longer to be the case, thanks to what we've seen in these two aldermanic races I referred to in the 14th and 15th, as well as in our school board, which is going on for the past 5 years, where it's we're being very politicized, where a lot of these issues, which really have no bearing on anybody, are scaring parents to the point of, holding teachers back, if you will, and interfering in or not getting enough input from students. And so your thoughts on that, Jim?
Absolutely. And once again, wouldn't it be a good world, a community, if through the auspices and the offices of basic civic organizations, including podcasts like this, we set out to describe exactly what this position is all about. What does an alderman in the city of Waukesha do? What does the mayor do? What do the appointed officials do? What are their functions? And I know that's wonky, and I know it takes a lot of time, especially for families, young, middle-aged, and older, who've got lots of other responsibilities. But again, at a time when these issues are so much heightened in the public domain, do we have any other choice but to figure out, number one, what is the position about? And number two, then we join with that, let's do a deep dive into what a Don Brown or a Jim Santel or Max Martinson would bring to this particular office. What is your background? Tell me what you have done. Tell me what your relevant features. And yes, we do some of that. But even that, on the postcards, on the flyers, even on the social media, it is superficial, right? Committed to safety in our communities. Everybody is that, right? Tell me about something that you have done that shows, doesn't have to be last week, but in your history, in your educational term, in your employment life, that you have been committed to this particular avenue of work, some resources. Tell me more generally about how you approach the job. Are you going to be an independent judgment maker as an alderman, or are you going to survey your constituents on virtually every single issue and simply vote? That's kind of the Jeffersonian debate, right? When it comes to representation, what is your theory about government? Once we put you there, are you
going to ask
me?
The people make better rulers than the avarice of kings.
That's exactly it. So those kinds of things, that would be, again, wonderful if we could have those debates on a regular basis, public forums, and say, this is it. You get the money out, you get rid of the ad hominem attacks, the partisan politics. And again, just as an aside, we talked already about the judicial race, this notion that we do have politics inside our judicial races, just like the nonpartisan aldermanic races. I must tell you, Don, my friend, I am horrified by it. There was a time in my recent lifetime when some of the things I saw in recent Supreme Court races, but other races as well, would get you into big trouble with the Election Commission, would get you into trouble, and you might have to drop out for saying these kinds of things. They're so partisan. Now, everybody, I don't want to say that everybody does them. That's not the case, but they are commonplace and they become the norm such that we don't realize how abnormal they should be. That's the point.
That's good. James Santel of Amicus Law Review, U.S. Attorney Emeritus. Thanks so much for being my guest on both podcasts. We definitely need to include you again. We have so much more to talk about. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. Enjoy the Final Four today. I'm not a Duke fan, but I think I'll be rooting for them because of Milwaukee's own Con Knipple, a graduate of Wisconsin Lutheran. Hope everyone has a great day today. Please remember, as always, safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. And we look forward to, if you have a story to tell, please reach me through my social media outlets, especially about Waukesha. We'd love to have you on the podcast. I want to thank the mighty Max Martinson for doing another excellent job. And I want to thank all of you for making Waukesha the wonderful university spring city that it is. And see ya!